Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Wednesday morning. And tonight, this evening, there's going to be a very important meeting of the New Bedford City Council's Committee on Ordinances. It's happening at 7 p.m. and it will be live streamed. By the way, it seems like there are still some people confused about where to live stream City Council meetings. They continuously are looking for it on cable access, whether it be on the cable access station or on the website or on the Facebook page. To watch the live stream of the council meetings, whether it be the full council or these committee meetings, you want to go to the city's website. The city's website is where you can access the live stream for those, and where as soon as the meeting is over, the archive is uploaded. If you are going to cable access, you're still going to be waiting a couple of days before you see the video show up of those meetings. However, the archives are available pretty much right after the meetings are over on the city website. So, and if you still can't find it, just go to Google, type in WBSM New Bedford City Council meetings live stream, and you'll find our article that we wrote announcing that they would be live streamed. And in that is the direct link to go to the city's website. But it's right on the city website, on the city, on the council page. That's where you'll find the ability to watch these videos live. It's not on cable access. That's still going to be after the fact. So if you want to watch it tonight live at 7 p.m., the city's website is the way to do it. Because tonight, they will be taking up a proposal from New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell to remove the residency requirement for Unit C employees. So as we've talked about for quite a while here, these Unit C, these managerial level positions, they've been having trouble filling them. And part of the reason they've been having trouble filling them, now they worked to reclassify the salaries of those Unit C employees in order to be able to offer more competitive pay, in order to be able to offer them a higher pay scale earlier on in their employment. But now, as they're still having trouble filling those positions, the residency requirement has been identified as one of the reasons why they're having a problem with that. And that residency requirement is that if you don't live in the city as one of these Unit C employees, you cough up 10% of your pay. You get a 10% pay deduction if you live in another community. And these positions are people, these aren't entry-level positions where somebody is just looking to get their foot in the door and is happy to move into New Bedford to do so. These are positions with people that are skilled and seasoned and experienced and are not, you know, recent college graduates, are not people who are making their way out in the world for the first time. These are people who have been established in their careers and maybe have already purchased a home, have a family, have kids that are already in a school system that they don't want to disrupt. And so Mayor Mitchell is asking for the City Council to remove the residency requirement for Unit C employees. Now, as you know, the police department has a residency requirement of 5 years. The fire union members has a requirement of 10 years. And the AFSCME employees, the AFSCME union employees, who are everybody else that works in the city that isn't in this Unit C position, they have a requirement where they have to be city residents for the duration of their employment. So by removing that same residency requirement of, you know, the duration of the employment for the Unit C managers, they're hoping that that will attract some more people. Now, we've heard from counselors. You've heard them here on the air. I talked to them when we had the regular council segment. We heard from the counselors. A number of them don't want a residency requirement at all. But does that mean that they'll be willing to approve this amendment for the Unit C employees as a way to get the ball rolling? Or will they hold out and say, listen, it's all or nothing? I can tell you that we here at WBSM have learned that Mayor Mitchell is going to be proposing other changes to the residency requirement for those union level employees. Now, part of the sticking point with that is those residency requirements have already been collectively bargained into the contracts that they're currently under. So when those contracts come back up and it's time to negotiate again, you might see either a removal or a change. But we've learned that Mayor Mitchell is proposing that he would not enforce the residency requirement for AFSCME employees, and that he would reduce the fire department from 10 years to 5 years to match the police. So that's the future of this. But for right now, tonight, the issue on the table is removing the residency requirement for the Unit C employees. I can tell you, oh, there goes the Ecto 84. The car that's made up to look like the Ghostbusters car. He's going to be in high demand coming up in a couple of weeks when the new movie comes out. But getting back to this point, personally, I don't like the idea of a residency requirement at all. I understand why Mayor Mitchell supports it for police and fire personnel, because he looks at it as a way to get to know the city and to know the ins and outs of the city where you live. But I think you can learn that without having to live here. I think if you're having trouble hiring police officers, requiring them to live here is an impediment to getting them. I think if you want to get quality people, not that the people who live in the city aren't quality candidates, but you just don't have enough of them applying. I think it's just a bad way to do business in 2024. To put this extra restriction, unnecessary restriction on being able to hire people, or to penalize them if they are hired and don't live here, in the case of the Unit C employees. I don't know why we're even holding on to any part of this requirement. You can be a police officer, a firefighter, and you can come and you, listen, it's your job. If it's your job to learn about the community, you're going to learn about the community. When we're hiring people here at WBSM, we don't have a requirement that you have to live in New Bedford or in Fairhaven to be able to come here and work here. Does it help if somebody does? Of course. especially if you're working in the newsroom covering these things, because you have a familiarity with the goings on. Also, if you're going to be working in the newsroom and you're going to come in at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, God love Adam Bass, when he was here filling in the newsroom, he lived outside of Boston. And he was driving down every morning to be here at 5 a.m. I'm pretty sure he was here earlier. But, you know, ideally, it's easier if you live close by. When Taylor Cormier was in the mornings, yeah, I think he lived down the street from here. Because it's just easier when you've got to get up that early. But we would never require somebody to live here. And certainly we would never say, well, if you don't live here, we're going to take 10% of your pay away. And I would argue that a reporter needs to know just as much about the city as a firefighter or a police officer. But we expect that they can come in and they can learn or rely on others who have that knowledge. So I think that we've kind of moved past the time to need this. But also, the question isn't just going to be about whether or not we need a residency requirement. It's going to be about what is the council's appetite for removing the residency requirement piece by piece. Will they be okay with saying, okay, well, we'll start with Unit C employees and then let's have a conversation about other employees? Or will they say, no, come back to us with a proposal that covers everybody and then we'll talk about it? I'm obviously, and being in the camp of people that think it's an unnecessary requirement, I would want them to want to see all of the residency requirements removed. But also, as somebody who has been following along with the stories about how these positions have been sitting vacant, something is better than nothing. And I've got to think that, you know, Mayor Mitchell is pushing for this now because they probably have some candidates for some of these positions that are interested. But that residency requirement is a sticking point. And that if this is waived, if this is amended and removed for Unit C employees, then they can, you know, accept the job. Everybody last week was saying that they want this report from the city solicitor's office about what happened during the election with the Republican ballot issues. They want this report as soon as possible. Mayor Mitchell told us they don't have enough people in the city solicitor's office. They have empty positions that they can't fill. That's just one example. But you can't want things to happen quickly if you don't have people in those positions. And if this is one of those impediments to getting people in that office, for example, then you should want to see it removed. The idea of you're more invested in the community if you're living here and paying taxes and spending money, I think it was a good idea when they put it in to practice. It was worth a try, but I don't think it's the way that it's panned out shows that has to be the case. You can have people that live in another community that are still invested in, that care about New Bedford, that still spend money in New Bedford. And also, dictating where people are spending their money seems a little draconian to me. To say, well, we're going to pay you, we're paying you $100,000 a year. We expect you to spend that money here. We expect to get out of that $100,000 that you're spending, we expect to get $4,000 of that back every year in property taxes. It doesn't work that way. You gave me that $100,000, I can spend it how I see fit. And if that means paying property taxes in another community, that's my choice. It doesn't affect how I do the job. It doesn't affect my response time. If you call me with an issue, it doesn't affect my ability to get there every day. let's face it, I'm sure most of these Unit C jobs, if necessary, could be done remotely. I don't know what all, you know, what all of their job descriptions entail. But if there's a blizzard, they're still going to be able to get their job done, even if they can't necessarily physically be in the building. Obviously, you know, some positions, they have to be here. But I think a lot of the way that we view work life has changed. And so I just think it's time for this to go completely. But if this is a first step to doing so, then do it. Because it's a lot easier to then come back and say, well, we need to get rid of the residency requirement for everybody else if you've already gotten rid of it for the Unit C employees. But anyway, this meeting is happening tonight, 7 p.m., the Ordinance Committee. It should be a very interesting watch. What is this guy doing? He's trying to make sure he's inside the Lions parking in a handicap spot. But it looks like you're in the Lions, man. I think you nailed it. I don't know. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in and have your voice heard again, that meeting tonight of the Ordinance Committee is happening at 7 p.m. You'll be able to watch it live stream, but you have to watch it on the city website, not on cable access, not on the cable access website, not on the cable access Facebook page. It is on the city website. And if you miss it at 7 p.m., when it's over, they will have the archive right there on the same page on the city website to be able to catch that. So that's the easiest way to do it. And then, you know, you'll be able to be knowledgeable when you call in and talk about it tomorrow. And you know what? There's a lot of back and forth that'll probably happen on it, but it's not going to be the end of the discussion one way or the other. But you know what discussion is over, at least in my mind? Who has the best fried chicken in New Bedford? Because to me, it is Crispy Crunchy Chicken, located inside Gas Express at the corner of Tarkin Hill Road and Belleville Avenue. Their motto is either you know how good it is or you haven't tried it. It's tasty and meaty. It's not greasy. Not greasy at all, whether you get the bone-in or the boneless tenders or the Cajun chicken sandwich. It is not greasy, but it's not dry either. It's moist, meaty, delicious chicken that's hand-breaded and mildly Cajun-spiced. They have fantastic sides as well, like their potato wedge fries, jambalaya, mac and cheese, red beans and rice, their famous honey biscuits. You're going to want to make sure you get a couple extra biscuits when you go to Crispy Crunchy Chicken because they are so good. You're going to want another one. Plus those blueberry biscuits too. Ask about those. You can get your chicken in 2, 3, or 4-piece crunch box deals. You can also get family meals. But if you're going to get a family meal, I would recommend calling ahead because they don't make a bunch of chicken and then throw it under a warmer and leave it there for hours waiting for people to come in and order it. They make it in small batches. It's freshly fried up and put under the warmer for only a little bit of time so that when you go in there and order it, it is as fresh as can be. So check out Crispy Crunchy Chicken at Gas Express in New Bedford at the corner of Tarkin Hill Road and Belleville Avenue. You can also get it via GotChew, DoorDash, and Uber Eats. All right, it is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the latest headlines of the day from Phil Devitt, and we can react to it on the other side, 508-996-0500. Take it away, Phil.
A vote to ban TikTok scheduled for today. A popular American author rescued in Haiti. And Neil Young returns to Spotify.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Republicans are moving forward with a vote on a bill that would effectively ban TikTok in the U.S. A vote on the measure is scheduled for today. It would require the app's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, to sell to an American owner in an attempt to address national security concerns. More than 170 million TikTok users saw notifications last Thursday urging them to complain to their House representative about the bill. The political stage is set, and it will be a rematch for the White House in 2024. President Biden and former President Trump each clinched their respective party's nomination Tuesday. Trump had this to say.
Now we have to get back to work because we have the worst president in the history of our country. His name is Joe Biden, sometimes referred to as Crooked Joe Biden. And he must be defeated.
Biden, for his part, issued a statement warning that, quote, freedom and democracy are at risk here at home in a way they have not been since the Civil War. Recent polls show the two essentially dead even in the race for office in November. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a short list when it comes to his running mate on the independent presidential ticket. On Tuesday, it was reported Kennedy's been in talks with NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, as well as former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse Ventura. Kennedy later confirmed the two were at the top of his list for potential running mates, and said he's been speaking with Rogers pretty continuously for the past month. Author and columnist Mitch Albom and his wife are among 10 people who've been rescued from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Michael Kastner reports.
The group from Michigan was at Albom's Have Faith Haiti Orphanage, and their rescue was coordinated partly by Republican Congresswoman Lisa McClain. Albom, the author of Such a Claim Works, as Tuesdays with Maury, says they're grimy and exhausted but safe, and that he's worried for everyone who remains stuck in Haiti after the government folded. I'm Michael Kastner.
The attorneys for a Boeing whistleblower found dead over the weekend are speaking out. 62-year-old John Barnett was found dead outside of a South Carolina hotel. He was known for speaking out about Boeing's production standards after working for the company for over three decades. Though the coroner's office said Barnett's death was the result of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, Barnett's attorneys are calling on Charleston police to investigate further. In a statement, they said they did not see any indication that Barnett would take his own life. And Neil Young is making his return to Spotify. The 78-year-old rock star left the streaming service in protest back in 2022 because of COVID misinformation on the Joe Rogan Experience. On Tuesday, Young said he was returning to Spotify because, quote, Apple and Amazon have started serving the same disinformation podcast features.
WBSM Sports. Brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Celtics beat the Utah Jazz 123-107 last night. They're home to play the Phoenix Suns on Thursday. The Bruins head to Montreal to play the Canadiens on Thursday. And the Red Sox play the New York Yankees in spring training today at 1.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Wishing you a lovely morning. Mostly clear skies out there in the mid-30s as we head into the afternoon. Plenty of sunshine. Let's soak it all in and take advantage of that vitamin D. Temperature around 50. Light southerly breeze, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, a little bit of cloud cover. Temperature is dipping into the upper 30s. For tomorrow, we'll be enjoying mostly sunny skies in the mid-50s. Turning a bit unsettled by the end of the week. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And, you know, I'm somebody that talks in my sleep. And so when I went in for surgery, I was really worried. I was like, oh, man, I'm just going to talk a bunch of nonsense when I'm asleep. Nothing that I say makes any sense, but I just talk a lot in my sleep. And they told me that I didn't. So I don't know if that's, they were just being nice and they didn't want to be like, what is wrong with your brain? But we'll be able to talk a little bit about my surgery tomorrow, because joining us tomorrow morning, we're going to have Dr. Dennis LaRocque, the surgeon who removed my kidney, and is also the chief medical officer for South Coast Health. He's going to be joining us to talk about kidney cancer awareness, because March is Kidney Cancer Awareness Month. And so I wanted to utilize this platform to try to spread the message and to let people know how you can keep an eye out for it, what to do if you do suspect that you may have it. It is one of the most survivable cancers out there. When they removed my kidney that had the mass on it, originally they were just going to remove the mass, but they had to take the whole kidney once they got inside and saw it. And for myself and for most people, it's curative to be able to remove the kidney. But the key to that is detecting it early and getting it before it has a chance to spread to other parts of the body. So we'll talk about that with Dr. LaRocque tomorrow morning. It will hopefully be something that even if it's not something that helps you out, you can share it with somebody and it could help them. But I just feel like if I went through that and if I have this platform here in the mornings, it's a sign that I should probably be doing something to spread awareness. So Kidney Cancer Awareness Month is March, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow with Dr. LaRocque. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Tim, I must have missed quite a few episodes. I didn't know you had kidney cancer.
Yeah, that's what I went through when I was out for surgery. I had what happened was way back in September when I had kidney stones, which, you know, I waited 5 days to go and have looked at because I was like, it's just sciatica, but it wasn't. When they did the CAT scan to find, or the CT scan to find that, they found a mass on my kidney, and then they had me come back for an MRI, and they were able to confirm that it needed to be removed. And then once it was removed, they were able to confirm that it was a sizable cancer.
Wow. I'm really sorry to hear that, first of all, and I hope you're doing well, feeling well, and I certainly will keep you in prayers for that. And I ask you a question. How long did... So that was only like about a month ago, right?
About 6 weeks ago that I had it removed.
How do you feel now?
I feel a lot better. I still get tired, like, earlier than I used to. You know, like, normally I would stay up till 9, 10 o'clock at night. By, like, 7 o'clock at night, I'm wiped out. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, a lot has to do with not so much as sometimes the kidney removal, but the surgery itself takes its toll on you,
right,
too.
Yeah.
You know,
I was told the after effects of the anesthesia take a while to recover from too.
I had three surgeries in 1 year, and it really takes its toll on you big time. You know, it really does, and it takes a while for that to wear down and wear out to work its way out of you, as well as you know, the surgery obviously does take time, its toll on you too. And well, I'm glad to hear that. I hope you're feeling better. I hope you continuously feel better and you get well soon completely. And I guess we can live with one kidney, obviously. And I had a girlfriend who used to do that dialysis. People had no kidney, our kidneys weren't working at all, you know. And hopefully you'll never have to go through that, and that you will heal. And well, again, I'm sorry to hear that you went through it, and continuously get better, man.
Well, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye.
And I do feel good, and I am very thankful. First of all, I'm thankful I had that kidney stone, because who knows how far along I would have had to have gotten before I would have realized that I was sick. And then who knows how long I would have taken after the signs were there that I would have actually acted on them. Just being the stubborn person that I am. I've been like, I'm going to the doctor in 6 months. I'll just bring it up when I go then. And then inevitably get there and the doctor says, anything else going on? No, I'm okay. So, you know, I'm glad that I was able to do something about it early. But I'm very grateful for the amazing team at South Coast Health for making this such an easy process for me. And yes, you absolutely can live with one kidney. My mom was born with one that wasn't functioning, so she's lived her whole life with one, with no issues. And I can tell you that I've had no issues. I actually was making the joke the other day because I drank for the first time, you know, some alcohol the week before last. I hadn't had any since before the surgery, and it hit me pretty hard. And I was saying to somebody, yeah, you know, I was told, you know, no real difference with only having one kidney, but I can tell you having the couple of drinks that I had really hit me a lot harder and faster than it normally would. Now, I was never a big drinker anyway, so it didn't take much for me to feel the effects. But he said, well, that also could be because you didn't have any for like a month and a half and you lost 20 pounds from the last time that you had a drink. I was like, yeah, that's true too. Didn't even think about that. So yes, if you ever say, hey, Tim, let's go out for drinks, I'm buying. Just know it's not going to cost you a whole lot of money. Doesn't take me much. And I don't go to excess anyway. When I feel like I've had enough, I've had enough. But other than that, everything's fine. I mean, I'm just going to be more careful about the fatty foods that I eat. I'm going to be more careful about making sure I drink enough water just because I don't want to get a kidney stone in the kidney that I have left, because then that cuts down your functionality even more until you get that removed or until it passes. And I'd like to be all set with surgeries for a little while. I spent enough time sitting on my butt recovering. I don't need to have to go through any more. But I always say, you know, I had a much easier time than most people that have to battle against cancer. To me, it wasn't even a battle. It was as simple as just trusting South Coast Health and Dr. LaRocque to remove it, and then just up to me to do what they told me to do to be able to come back from it. That's it. So I didn't have to go through, you know, chemotherapy, radiation, multiple surgeries like other cancer patients do. That's why somebody had said to me, oh, did they have you ring the bell when you had the kidney removed? And I said, I didn't even earn the right to be anywhere near the bell. This was not the battle that people that do that go through, because they were able to detect it early and remove it early. So that's why we're going to be talking about it tomorrow with Dr. LaRocque. All right, I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500 or hit me up on App Chat on the WBSM app. Been more of my problem with my health recently than the surgeries and the weight loss and all that. It's the bad case of loving you that I've been suffering from. And I love talking to you at 508-996-0500 or getting your app chat messages on the WBSM app. We were talking about the ordinance committee meeting tonight of the New Bedford City Council, the Committee on Ordinances, and how they'll be hearing a proposal from Mayor Mitchell about removing the residency requirement for Unit C employees so that they can hire and fill some of these vacant positions. And we have learned here at WBSM that Mayor Mitchell is actually looking to make some changes to the residency requirements for the AFSCME employees and for the fire union employees. But we'll have more about that later at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But Mr. Bungle in Dartmouth sent an app chat message asking, well, what are other cities doing nearby? And other cities and municipalities have a residency requirement where they say, you know, we want you to live in the city to work for us. But as Mayor Mitchell points out in his letter to the council's ordinance committee, and as we've discussed here on the air before, This is his direct quote from the letter to the Ordinance Committee. To our knowledge, no other municipal government in the nation has adopted a non-resident pay penalty like that presently in place in New Bedford. So the fact that if you are a Unit C employee and you don't live in the city, you're coughing up 10% of your salary. They reduce your salary by 10% if you don't live in the city. He's saying, as far as they can tell, New Bedford is the only place in the United States of America where that happens. So that's part of the contention when people are applying for this job. Who else does that? You want to take 10% of my pay away when I bought a house in Lakeville or Middleborough or Wareham or Dartmouth, and I'm 5 years into a 30-year mortgage? I don't want to sell my house now and then try to find something in New Bedford. You guys are talking about how you're having a housing crisis in the city, and you expect me to come and find a place to live? I like where I live. I like where my family, we bought this house because it's our dream house. Our kids are in school and we don't want to take them out of school. All of these factors keep people from wanting to have a job, wanting to take a job if it means that they have to relocate for it. And you would think working in a community that's, you know, 20 minutes away from where you live, you wouldn't have to relocate for it. So that's where this contention comes from with people who are, I'm assuming, contention coming from with people who are applying for the job. Before, the salary wasn't equivalent with what they could be making elsewhere. We've been able to make adjustments to that. But now this residency requirement is the next barrier that needs to go. And I think it should go for all employees. I don't think you should have it for anything. And if the mayor is willing to adjust it from, you know, not enforcing it for the AFSCME union employees, reducing the firefighter requirement from 10 years to 5 years to match the police, if you're willing to go that far, I think getting rid of it altogether is not a bad compromise if that's what the council wants to push for, which we've heard councilors come on the air here and say that. So we'll see how it all shakes out. 7 o'clock tonight is the meeting. You can watch it on the city's website. That's where to catch the live stream of all the council meetings and the archive immediately after. Going to take one final break here. I'll be back in just a few moments.
Good.
All right, stay tuned. We got South Coast Now coming up with Chris McCarthy. I know he's going to be talking more about this meeting tonight of the Ordinance Committee. But also, one of the things that you could be doing tonight is you could be grilling yourself up something delicious for dinner, because it's going to be a nice night for that. You're going to be able to fire up the grill, maybe for the first time this season, and throw some delicious meat on there. Where are you going to get that meat from? How about the butcher shop? Because they've got everything there, from celebrity pork chops to chicken breasts to giant chicken wings to Terrace Major to prime rib to those tomahawk steaks. Everything that you could possibly want to get and throw on the grill. Their homemade linguica and chorizo. You can get all of that there as well. And it's a place where you can get not only great quality, but great prices too. And it's not like walking into the supermarket where they're like, here, we cut this for you. You just buy it. They're going to cut it to order. They're going to cut it the way that you want it. You want a little thicker, you want a little thinner, they'll do all of that for you. Plus, they have all their delicious pre-made foods that they make, the beer and wine cellar, the cheese fridge, all kinds of great products there. It's a real old-school neighborhood market, the Butcher Shop, located at 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Stop on by today and get yourself something good for tonight. All right, that will do it for...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.